Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Some of you may need to jump off the worry bus today. It might be that you've been anxious or worried for couple days because you got some unexpected news that has discouraged you and you've been worried about it. The Bible says do not worry, so it's a sin. It may not be a sin that's going to lock you up literally in prison, and yet it can lock you up as far as doing God's will in your life, having freedom in Christ, enjoying your journey in the Lord, because it is a journey full of ups and downs, but it's something that can be the fruit of the Spirit when we have joy. We've talked about that recently. Some sins are obvious. If you came in here this morning and decided to punch somebody in the stomach and five or six people saw that, I'd say people would say that, you know, you're probably unkind at the least. But it might be that we've never thought about the fact that worry is not something that you necessarily think about as a sin, or that a lot of people may realize you do or you practice. I've certainly been guilty of practicing worry from time to time. And again, there may be some that have been on the worry bus for a long time. And my prayer is that today God will speak to you through His Spirit and through His Word to help you surrender your worry. You see, the Bible describes in the New Testament worry as not being able to go in one direction or the other. It'd be like a friend pulling you on this side and a friend pulling you on this side, and you can't really go this way or this way because you're just kind of stuck. And worry can cause us to be stuck in the middle of life and journey and enjoying all that God has for us. And so if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to begin our message today by looking at verse 34. Now, as you walk through the listing sheet, if you have it before you, you might just take mental notes. That's okay, too. There's going to be several cross-references. In other words, this is not the only passage that we're going to look at. We're going to look at other places in the Bible to help us understand how to get off the worry bus. And it may be that you're the kind that might get off the worry bus, but then you jump back on it before you get out to the parking lot. And we don't need to do that. We need to understand how this can cause us to miss blessings that God has for us, the wonderful call that God places on our lives, the blessings of friendships and family around us. We cannot at times enjoy them because we're so worried and anxious about stuff. And some of it, quite frankly, never happens. But maybe because of the way we're wired, because of our upbringing, because of wounds from the past, or because of what might happen, we can get all worked up. Now, in this passage, this is called the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is letting His disciples, His true followers, know what that means to follow Him. And there's a variety of teachings that He has, different topics. And when He uses this word in this particular passage, tomorrow, it's used in this verse about us considering and demonstrating the futility of losing sleep over the problems of tomorrow, as we even have challenges today. It could be that yesterday you were facing some challenges, and as you were working through those challenges, you were also worrying about something about tomorrow that may or may not happen. Again, we can all be guilty of this from time to time. And occasionally, especially as we're in the middle of a series, we need to be reminded of how futile it is and how important it is to understand what God says. So here he is in this teaching. We're going to come back to this passage, but to this particular chapter. But look at this one verse, Matthew 6:34. Therefore, and he's saying that in light of all the things that he said, I'm going to take care of the birds, so I'm going to take care of you. Here's what he says. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And then listen to what the Message paraphrase says. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Paul said, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What is the worst thing that could happen to us as a believer? We die, and we go to heaven. And from everything I know about the Bible, it's going to be thousands of times better than our best day here on earth. And so when we think of it that way, it should help us realize that there's a reason Jesus is telling us, do not worry. Now, how do we get off that train and stay off of it? The first thing that's listed in the blank there is we pray about it. We pray about it. If you have your Bible, you can turn to these cross references for each one. I want to look at Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says this, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Have you ever been through a difficult trial, one that you've never experienced before, and God has just overwhelmed you with a peace? I'm sure you have. And sometimes it's in those situations where you thought, I don't know what I will do at 26 without my dad that had such an influence on me. And yet God, in his grace, gave me a peace that passes all understanding. Maybe you lost your job unexpectedly, and yet God gave you a peace because you've been drawing near to him, and he's given you a peace of mind and said, look, I got you. I'm your boss. I'll take care of this. You trust me. Correct what you need to. Learn from it. Understand I'm sovereign, and I got you covered. Keep trusting in me. We pray. So it's a way of humbling ourselves. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. And by humbling ourselves and praying, we're saying, God, I surrender. I need your help. Please help me. Please help me. Now, practically, I want to talk a little bit before we move on to the second point about how are ways that we can pray for us just think through and evaluate individually and corporately as a church. Do we really pray or we just talk about it? Was it something we did 5-6 years ago or when we were in the youth group and now we've kind of withdrawn, got to moved on, become an adult, got real busy, and we don't really pay attention to it? I dare say that we should have a daily devotional / prayer time. And if we miss a day, we don't beat ourselves up. And we don't say, well, I missed it. I can't ever do it again. No, we keep getting up and coming back. And in that prayer time, it might be like I try to do, or I do in the front of my journal, where I do write out some devotional thoughts after reading God's word, not a whole lot of the Bible, but some of it, and look at the study Bible and apply it to my life. I'm not talking about getting ready for the sermon or Wednesday night. I'm talking about devotional time with God. Then I have something in the front of my journal that says, in the front, I have daily. There are five or six things that I'm going to pray about daily. One of them is sitting right down here on the front row, my wife. And then there's four or five other things that I pray about daily. Do you do that? We should. And then I get to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Some of you have heard me explain this before. We all need to be reminded that we need to be practical in our prayer life. Monday, pray for the missionaries and about three or four other things. Tuesday, pray for different tasks that I'll have and some other things. Wednesday, pray for all the workers that are going to be working on Wednesday night and other things. And you go through each day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then sometime during the year, somebody's going to come up to you and say, man, brother, I need you to pray for me about something. I'm struggling. And then you fill in the blank. They'll tell you something. And then that's where in your sheet, in the front of your journal, you put other. And you make you a note or a stickum, and you put it right there. And you keep coming to the Lord until that prayer is answered, until God releases you and says, that's enough. And you pray for something else. Daily. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Do you do that? We need to do that daily. We need to pray about things. I'm telling you, when I'm worried or anxious about something, I cannot wait to get in my prayer closet to just cry out to God, say, dear God, I didn't see this shit coming yesterday, and you know what's going on. I need your help. Speak to me in your word. Help me with this situation. Please give me wisdom. Give me peace. I'm anxious. I'm worried. I'm being pulled. And it's driving me nuts. Dear God, help me. Do you do that? We should. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things in which you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3, God's telephone number. And then as a church, as much as we pray or emphasize prayer, I don't know about you, but I still feel like we're lacking. There's more that we can do. We have a cross right out here that some of our folks graciously made and put together. And you can put prayer requests at any time. You can write something on there and just stick it in the cross and in the little holes that are made there. And people will pray for you. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer list. Brother Phil sends out a prayer list before we gather. And it's made available when you leave. There's usually sheets out there to pray specifically for people. And Wednesdays we pray in different ways. During our worship service, every Sunday we pray in a different way. Today Scott prayed for the staff. We pray. During the invitation and at other times, we encourage people to use the prayer bench. It's more than furniture. It's a tool to be used to seek God. Before the services, unless I'm baptizing first thing, our deacons graciously will pray for me because I certainly need it before the service or whoever is about to preach. It's a practice that we have. Some people pray at the cross. The big cross outside, the Haven Cross during the week. And sometimes we occasionally will have gatherings out there, like November the 3rd, by the way, at 3 p.m. on that Sunday. We're going to gather, and a lot of people all over the state of Mississippi are going to gather at other Haven-type crosses to pray for our country, to pray for the election, that people will vote their convictions, not their preferences, and that God will rescue us. And give us revival. Prayer times. There's people that meet early on Sunday mornings and they pray, and then they walk the halls and they pray. There's time in Sunday school classes and other Bible studies, ladies during the week on Monday and guys on Thursday mornings, that people pray. We need to pray as Christians individually. We need to pray as a church and continue to learn how to pray and pray even more and never ever, ever give up. So there's those private prayers, those public prayers that I spoke of. There's prayers for our country that sometimes we participate in our community. And then sometimes there's those immediate prayers. It may not be on your prayer journal. It may not be something that you're praying about that somebody said, but there's those immediate prayers that can happen every day. You hear about a hurricane coming, you start praying for those in harm's way. You hear about somebody that was misdiagnosed with cancer. You don't have to wait till in the morning. You can pray for them right there. Now, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. Keep your eyes open and you can pray. Pray, pray, pray. Do not be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. That's what God says for us to do. When we worry, we pray. There's something else we do. Number two, the word is punt. Punt it. Get rid of it. Cast it. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, cast, punt, throw, get rid of all your anxiety on him. Who's him? Christ Jesus. Why? Because he cares for you. If you read slowly through the New Testament, you watch some appropriate films or television shows or movies that show the Jesus of the Bible, you can see that he's compassionate. He cares for us. He's the most compassionate that ever lived. And so he cares about things that we're concerned about. Simon Peter had been talking about in this passage the value of submission, submitting to those in authority, understanding the chain of command. And all of a sudden, he turns his attention to submitting to God in prayer. To cast means to throw something. In the New Testament, it was the idea of a donkey being there and throwing a blanket on top of a donkey to carry items or resources or at time of persons. Christians are to cast all of their discontent, discouragement, despair, and sufferings on the Lord and trust him for knowing what he's doing with our lives. In Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So you wake up in the morning and that thing, fiery dart, comes at you and you're worried, you're anxious about it, we need to cast it, we need to punt it and replace it. Replace our stinking thinking according to that with things that are praiseworthy. Sing a song. Turn on Christian radio. It may be that you have a spouse that says, don't sing. But you sing anyway. You sing as unto the Lord. My wife encourages me to sing, even though I can't sing as good as she does. She wants me to hum. She's a hummer. There's times, Kelly, she just hums. And to me, that's an indication or a sign of a joyful heart. Do you hum? Do you sing? Do you replace your stinking thinking? Because if we're not careful, we can be so uptight about something that may or may not happen that we can just be a neutral and not be moving forward. I remember years ago at a church, there was this guy. Well, let's call him Jonathan because that's his name. Jonathan came up to me. He said, Pastor Howe, my wife and I want to come by and see you. I said, okay, well, let's touch base on Monday and we'll set it up. So we scheduled it on that Wednesday afternoon. So it was several days later. Folks, between Sunday and when he said that, and Wednesday when we met, man, I'd come up with all kind of stuff we were about to talk about. I thought, man, what are they upset about? Who did something now? Was it me? Was it them? What are they wanting to talk? I came up with all kind of stuff. And then they walked on a Wednesday afternoon. We sat down inside. I was just turning like, oh, gosh. What in the world is this about? My wife and I want to come see you. We sat down. Jonathan says, Pastor Howe, listen. My grandmother passed away, and she left us a good amount of money, and we want to give it to the church. That's what they wanted to talk to me about. Inside, I thought, you goofball. You doofus, you idiot. I was all worked up. About what? About a blessing for the church. You see what we can do? If we're not careful, we can work ourselves into a frenzy. It might be because of scars or wounds from the past. It might be just because we're allowing those fiery darts to land. We're supposed to pray about things that cause us anxiety. We're supposed to punt things, get rid of it, cast it away, surrender it to the Lord. And thirdly, we're to prepare. Matthew 6:33. It basically says, you're familiar with this passage. It's the passage before the primary passage to launch our sermon. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so we seek God, and it might be that what you do or what I do is during our morning devotional time, if we hadn't already done so, we take our planner. It might be in our phone. It might be in our computer. It might be you still write things down day by day or week by week or month by month. And if there are things that are making us anxious, we begin the day with the Lord, and before we leave that, we make sure where we're headed when we leave our time alone with God, and we prepare. Is there some assignment that we have? We prepare to relieve the anxiety or anxiousness. It's amazing how preparation helps us keep from being a perfectionist, to keep things under control. Preparation basically eliminates panic. We carve out the time that we're going to prepare for a certain assignment or a project or a job or a family time or dating our spouse, having balance in life. We prepare. Preparation helps destroy and blow up and eliminate panic. We prepare for those tests that are coming up in school so we won't panic. I look at our teenagers down here, I can tell they do that every week. They're preparing all the time. If you're worried about where you're going to be buried one day, go get you a burial plot. We prepare. And it just, okay, I've taken care of that. Honey, this is where I'm going to be buried. Already paid for it. We got a two for one. I'm going with Brother Phil on Thursday afternoon on an international mission trip. I know some of you have been praying for me. And Jeff Lee. We're going to Turkey. Never been to Turkey. I'm not talking about the turkey you eat. We're about to eat November. I'm talking about the place called Turkey. We're going there. And I've been on some international mission trips before, so I've been out of the country a number of times since 40 and beyond, but I've never been to Turkey. So Brother Phil, in case you don't know it, he's a professional when it comes to travel. So we had a meeting with our professional. He's over there looking at me like this. Like, you remember, I'll get you. And so when we were there, he covers a lot. And so I sat there. One of the things he covered, because you're going to a foreign country, if you're really smart, what you'll do is you'll take medications ahead of time so your stomach won't get upset, for example. And he talked about how he did that. So I was thinking, oh, man, I was getting worked up a little bit. And then I thought, I ain't doing that. I mean, I got enough stuff to carry and worry about. I'm not going to do that. Besides that, I've got sugar-free Tums. My stomach gets upset, I'll take a sugar-free Tum. I'll be fine. And then he started talking about packing lightly. Be sure and pack lightly. Don't wear your heavy jeans. And I thought, man, I don't have light. And we're not going to be dressed up. So I'm thinking, I don't have light. Light pants. So I went to the Walmarts. Got me some light pants. I went to another store. I went to the well-dressed man. I thought, well, I'm going to go to the Walmarts and the well-dressed men. Got me some of those light pants because I'm going to pack light. So instead of being worried about it because we don't want to check in a bag to have all that, I went and found a bag, and I got me some light-colored pants, and I got me some T-shirts and some decent-looking shirts that I'm going to put in there, and I'm going to be fine. So instead of worrying about it, I'm using this as a crazy example or illustration, because some things we can take more, we've got to understand, are serious issues. But if we prepare for it, it'll relieve that anxiety. And folks, remember, there's some things we can't do anything about. We can't fix anybody. We can't make people do what's right. But we can control how we behave, how we act, and not doing stinking thinking and preparing if we can, whatever that means. It eliminates panic so often. What you worried about today? Anything? May not be. Some folks are cool as a cucumber. They just steady. They're content. Bible calls it contentment. What a great place to be. But some of you may need to lay it down. Get off that worry train and just lay it down. Now, you can stand and do it, or you can kneel here and just say, Lord, don't pick it back up when you leave it. I heard a story about a little boy that was on a train for the first time. He was looking out the window because he was sitting by the window. And far off, because he was not an experienced person on a train, but he saw some water, rivers coming, lakes of water, and he thought, how in the world? We're going to get over that as a train. And then he noticed there was a bridge just the right time. And he noticed the second time there was a big body of water, there was a bridge. Got him from one place to the other just the right time. He began to sit back, not be anxious and worried, no matter how much water he saw that was coming. Christian friend, we do these things. We trust God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and lean on not on our understanding. We understand that He is going to give us a bridge at just the right time. He's the bridge builder. He's the one that built a bridge between God and sinful man through Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So when we leave here, we all do what we can, trust Him, pray, prepare, punt, get rid of, cast. and watch him build a bridge. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to worship, to see what you said in the Sermon on the Mount about worry. God, forgive me for the times I worry. Forgive us for those anxious moments we have, and we miss blessings of family and friends and work and the joys of today. Oh, God, help us to stay focused on you. I pray for those that may need to get off the bus, get off the worry bus. They can do that while they're singing. They can come down here. It's between them and the Lord. We're to fear you, revere you, not worry about what people think, but live for the audience of one. So if there's somebody that needs to do that, I pray you'll give them the courage to do it. This is your invitation. It's not mine. It's yours. So may your will be done in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and respond.